The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
With regard to age, I can't even say, I guess how old I am, I can't even say the number. It doesn't register with me. But the only thing I can say is that one of the things that people are going to find out, they're going to see a race, and they're going to judge whether or not I have it or don't have it. I respect them taking a hard look at it. I take a hard look at it as well. I took a hard look at it before I decided to run. And I feel good. I feel excited about the prospects. And I think we're on the verge of really turning the corner in a way we haven't in a long time.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
That's our current president downplaying his age. And it's a big question as he gets close to the 2024 run. A lot of people are wondering, wow, he'll be 86, I think, when he's done. Most men don't live to be that long, by the way. 45% of men in this country are going to live to be 85 years of age, only 45%. So that means if Kamala Harris is the VP, it's more than likely she might become the first female president, right? She's probably, what, a 50, how much is that, Patrick? 50 what percent chance does she have? I'm trying to remember one of the numbers I had. 42% of men live to be 85 was the stat. So 58% chance of becoming president if Joe Biden runs and he doesn't live to, who knows? He could live to be 100. I don't know. God could call him home tomorrow. But I'm just saying most polls show that most voters of most ages wonder, can the president really win the White House again at nearly 82 years of age and run it completely into the age of 86? What happens to your mental faculties? What happens to your body? What happens to your energy levels? I don't know. It's an interesting question. We'll talk more about his age coming up. But before we do, let's talk about John Durham. As you move closer to this race, it looks right now like it could potentially be a Donald Trump Joe Biden race, but look, we're a long way from election day. Who knows who's going to throw their hat in the race? Now things will change. But special counsel John Durham released a 300-page plus report today, and it shows that not only did the FBI not have any evidence that Donald Trump, he was then candidate Trump, had colluded with Russia, but the FBI had basically fueled Hillary Clinton's claim, saying that this was the very thing. I mean, it's really egregious. It should trouble every American, regardless of their political affiliation, whether you're Democrat or Republican. You have a powerful organization like the Federal Bureau of Investigation doing that. There's a lot of credibility behind him, right? Andy McCarthy, who's at the National Review, I was reading him, he said this. He says, quote, the FBI, even as it relied on Clinton campaign-funded opposition research against Donald Trump that it failed to verify, ignored strongly supported intelligence that Hillary Clinton was intentionally smearing Trump as a Putin puppet. And McCarthy went on to say that the FBI abetted the Clinton campaign and the Obama administration in doing this. Yet Donald Trump still won. He still won that particular race after all of that. The report's going to make politics of the Republican primary a lot more confusing this year. Right now, Trump, of course, is up to his eyeballs in legal action against him. And this exonerating report is certainly going to help him with the public perception amongst those who strongly support him. How that will play when the primary starts, who knows? Here to help us unpack all this is Dr. Paul Kengor, a longtime friend of this program. I'm so grateful for his contribution. He's the author of The Devil in Belladad. You can check out that book. It's one of many books that he's written. But he's also, you can find him online at American Spectator, and it's spectator.org. A lot of great writing there and a lot of great insight. Doctor, good to have you back. Welcome.
Yeah, hey, Drew. Good to be back. Thanks.
So your thoughts on the Durham report. Durham report, very clear, 300 pages, no collusion between Trump and Russia. Yet you take a look at so much of the media that swallowed that hook, line, and sinker, that promoted it. And honestly, 2016, or you go back, you want to place credibility in these federal agencies that have a lot of power. You want to believe that the Federal Bureau of Investigation is going to look at all leads and follow the truth. Not a political agenda. So what do you make of all that?
Yeah, well, the report is really a big deal. And in fact, I think Jake Tapper at CNN said that it basically exonerated Trump. and in fact, you're at least partly exonerated or used language, something like that. I went to the New York Times today, Drew, which I hate to do because it's such an awfully biased publication. It's just a horrible left-wing publication with no credibility. And I went there because somebody that I work with asked me to check out an article on the front page about charitable organizations that rip off people through the police officers' fundraising. And I went there, I found out it was a big article where they're after like three Republicans in Wisconsin or something like that. I saw an article in the Times about gender transitioning and how people really don't ever regret it. That's just a big Republican canard that's out there. And I thought, well, while I'm here, I should look and see what they say about this FBI report. I didn't see anything, Drew. I looked all over the page, and somebody will probably call in and Google it and see that the Times did a piece. But I looked all over this front page. I could find nothing on it. At least CNN had the integrity to talk about it. But the report really, it vindicates Donald Trump. And I want people listening to understand, remember, in November 2020, if you questioned the election in November 2020 or suggested that there was some sort of fraud or corruption or something that went on, Drew, you got canceled. Okay. I mean, you got destroyed. Your career was wrecked for this, right? You were labeled a conspiracy theorist. You were canceled on Facebook, Twitter, everywhere else. But after November 2016, all liberals everywhere, okay, and this is one of the reasons why they're hanging Ukraine flags today, okay, because they had convinced themselves and they try to convince America that in November 2016, Donald Trump won the election because he and Putin colluded together to steal that election from Hillary Clinton. That was like an article of faith for liberals for 4 years. And then in November 2020, any Republican who had any questions about the vote then, again, canceled if you even raised the issue. But for 4 years, all right, they pushed this election, Russia, Putin hoax stuff. And it turns out that it was a hoax. And they should have been looking into what Hillary Clinton said about it. And you could look it up. Joe Biden was tweeting stuff about this in 2019 as well. So that, yeah, this vindicates Donald Trump. It really does. And the more that this happens, the Alvin Bragg things takes place. I mean, I'm on the record saying I don't think Trump can win in 2024 because I don't think he can get 50% of the vote. But a
against
lot of
Biden?
People. Against Biden.
Wow.
I don't think he could get 50% against Biden. But let me say this: right now, there are so many people that feel that Trump really has been railroaded, that Trump's going to get a lot of votes from people protesting and out of sympathy for the phony attacks against him over the past several years. So I don't know. I still think Trump couldn't get 50% in the two-man race.
Yep.
Like I said, if RFK Jr., I said this on your show last week, if he were an enter and become a three-man race, I think Trump could easily win. But the man really has been railroaded in ways that even I didn't expect. This report is pretty shocking.
Let me run some audio, because it's interesting you say that, and I have a lot of respect for your political acumen. I do. I think you got a good sense of what's happening. You were never a fan of Donald Trump initially. There was some polling that was done before the Durham report came out. And again, to your other point, I'm not quite sure how much the media on the left, those who hate Trump, are going to do to say, hey, we were wrong on this, whether it's print or social media or broadcast. There's a disdain for him. And the fact that he's been vindicated in this, those who consume that media are probably never going to hear it. But here are some of the latest polls and what they've had to say between, let's say, a Biden and Trump race in 2024. And again, this is before the Durham report came out. I think this came from News Nation. Listen.
The ABC News Washington Post poll released this weekend puts Biden's approval rating at just 36%. It's the lowest for any president since they started doing these kinds of polling. The survey also shows Biden getting trounced in a hypothetical 2024 matchup with former President Donald Trump, with 36% saying they would definitely vote for Trump, 9% saying probably, and with just 32% saying they'd definitely vote for Biden, 6 saying probably, that's 45-38, definitely and probably for Trump. If you include the leaning towards, it's 49-42 for Trump. The same poll found only 32% of Americans think Biden has the mental acuity to serve a second term compared to 54 for Trump.
So those numbers indicate that it looks like in a matchup, Trump would win that particular election. What do you make of that?
Yeah. Yeah, hands down, 49-42, right? Yep. And I think you said 36% approval for Biden, 36% would vote for Trump, but in a kind of leaning, what was it, like 49-42. Yeah, But still, liberal Democrats will vote for Joe Biden if he's 96 years old. Okay. I mean, you and I are both natives of Pennsylvania.
Yep.
Look what happened in the Pennsylvania election with John Fetterman.
Crazy.
Okay. John Fetterman during the debate with Mehmet Oz couldn't even read his opening sentence with the benefit of a teleprompter. Okay. And Drew, that election was not even close. Not even close.
Yeah.
Fetterman still may be disqualified health-wise by August. In fact, they have told that date in Pennsylvania to decide whether or not the man is physically and intellectually capable. They would, liberal Democrats, look at Dianne Feinstein, right?
Yeah.
And I feel sorry for the woman. I'm not making fun of her.
No,
but liberal Democrats would... they would vote for Biden at the age of 96 if it's against Trump. And the other thing, okay, 49-42. Trump has people that will set themselves on fire to vote for him.
Mm-hmm.
And he even said years ago, right, I could shoot somebody in the middle of Manhattan and my voters would still vote for me. And they would. But Biden has never been popular. And yet, you had liberals who would set themselves on fire to run to the voting booth in 2020 to vote for Biden just to keep Trump out. So the number of people that loathe Donald Trump, I don't think that makes up for it in that case. But so I would still bet against Trump and for Biden. And if Biden wins, you go back to your opening point and your opening monologue, Drew. Kamala Harris, I think, ends up becoming president. What you said, 58% was...
The stat that I saw, 42% of men live to be 85 years of age. So,
right,
that's a minority, right, of men. And if Joe Biden finishes his term at 86, I don't know what the number is for 86, but Kamala Harris has about a 58% chance of becoming president.
You wonder if those are Vegas betting odds too, right?
On
Kamala Harris stepping in as vice president. But I should add one more thing too.
Yeah.
Another major difference in 2024 and 2020. 2024, you're not going to have COVID and massive mail-in balloting.
True.
Okay. I mean, the Democrats will try to get it anyway, right? Whatever excuse they could come up with. But again, here in the state of Pennsylvania, I went to bed that night, November 2020, with Donald Trump up by 500,000 votes in my home state. And that was absolutely insurmountable. I remember texting with my brother who lives near Philly, Drew, right? Your area.
Yeah.
And my brother said, well, you can't count out the fraud in Philadelphia and whatever. I said, you could do as much fraud as you want.
Yeah, right.
There's no way Donald Trump is going to lose a 500,000 vote lead. No way, no way, no way, no way. Well, it turns out they had 2 to 3 million. No one knows how many mail-in ballots somewhere, and somehow they all overwhelmingly went for Biden.
Wow.
And the minute they stopped counting them was the minute that Biden surpassed Trump.
Yep.
So, I mean, it depends too on what happens with mail-in balloting. But I would think that they're not going to be able to do that, the Democrats, in 2024 like they did in 2020, because they're not going to have COVID again in 2024.
And I don't want to diverge too much, but your thoughts on mail-in ballots, do you think it's a good idea or a bad idea?
It's a horrendous idea. In fact, every country in the European Union bans it. because it's rife with fraud.
So you think somebody's figured out a way to trick the system?
Oh, it's easy. Everybody listening, including people who are Democrats, right, who voted for Biden and don't like Donald Trump, you know, they could all tell you about receiving, you know, several mail-in ballots, right? And wondering if their ballot counted, if mm-hmm. they mailed it in, and the problem with drop boxes. You have to vote in person and present some form of ID. It doesn't necessarily have to be a driver's license, but this is just the way that it has to be done. In my little polling station here in Grove City, Pennsylvania, I walk in, and the ladies from the League of Women Voters say, "Oh, hi, Dr. Ken Gore. We know who you're voting for," right? And then they say, "ID, please," right? Yeah. They make me show an ID anyway. Yeah. And I'll say, "Well, how dare you make me show you an ID? Well, you bigot." I say, "Okay, yeah, you know, here's my ID. Thank you for checking my ID." And then you do a paper ballot and everything else. They keep the thing. That's the way it has to be done.
Yeah, that's
you can't do mail-in balloting. That's insane. It should not be legal.
I'm with you. My guest today, Dr. Paul Kengor, if you're just joining us, you can get into the conversation too. I'll give you the phone number. Feel free to dial in and sound off as well. The number's 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Share your views and ask your questions. Doctor, before we go to the phones, another note. We talked mail-in voting. I saw an article, maybe it was last week, it was in April, and it was called The Great Divorce, and it talked about how 2.6 million have fled counties that had previously voted for Joe Biden. And what they found out is that more people today are moving into red states. 61% of the counties that voted for Biden in 2020 lost population. 65% of Trump-supporting counties gained population. How do you think that is going to play out? You look at these incredibly blue, very liberal states that people are saying, I'm out of here, right? Will some of the blueness turn a red state purple? Or will this cause Biden a loss, maybe even in some of those states that were already purple that people have left due to the hemorrhaging?
Well, yeah. I mean, a lot of the people that leave these states, these liberal Democrat states, are liberals themselves who leave for tax reasons or whatever. I mean, look at what's happened to Colorado, right? Which used to be this firmly Republican state. Yeah. And now it's totally there for the Democrats. So yeah. They'll leave because of the Democrat tax policies, the unsafe cities and everything else, but then they go to these Republican states and they just vote Democrat again.
All right, right.
You know, they can't connect A to B, right? They can't quite figure out what's going on, so they vote the way they vote. Then another case is look at New York in the last election. I mean, we thought that New York, the governor's race with Kathy Hochul,
oh, yeah,
who is clearly the worst Catholic governor in America from like a pro-life perspective, right? I mean, just horrible. You know, women of Texas, women of America, come to New York for your abortion. Lady Liberty welcomes you with open arms. We will help you. We will help pay for you to come here. You know, tweeted out when her daughter had a baby. And the baby was a little girl, and Kathy Hochul tweeted out, I can't wait. My grandchild, she can fight for a woman's right to choose just like us someday, right?
Wow.
She's just crazy on abortion. Went to Catholic University of America Law School. But Kathy Hochul ended up winning overwhelmingly in New York. Why? Because they lost about 300,000 or 400,000 people who left New York for states like Florida during COVID and because of high taxes and everything else. So it'll make some of these blue states bluer, but will it change the red states? I don't know. Really, that probably remains to be seen.
My guest, Dr. Paul Kengor, let's go to the phones. Kathy in New Jersey, good afternoon. It's good to have you on the air with us. Thanks for calling in.
Hello?
Hi, Kathy, go right ahead.
Hi. I definitely think that Biden's way too old. He's not capable of running our country right now. God forbid he should win in 2024. And you know what? I do think Trump's the man to save our country. I think that I do think the election was rigged. and Biden won through all those drop-in mailboxes in the middle of the night. And that's why he won. But Trump's the man to bring back our country. And really, people should be supporting him because he is pro-life.
Yeah, he's such. Thank you, Kathy, for your call. And we could talk about his life position, too, because I know some people are a little upset with what he said recently. But would the country be better served, Doctor, if there was a different candidate other than Trump? I know people love Trump and what he's done. He was the most pro-life president we've had. What he did with China, you know, what he's done with the economy. You look where inflation was when he left office versus where we are now. You can draw a lot of these parallels where he was with energy and drilling and things along those lines. But he is so divisive. I mean, there are so many people after watching these January 6th hearings that were broadcast, you know, in prime time and seeing all the stuff about his court case and things that just they will never vote for him. Where if somebody else came in, let's just say I'll throw DeSantis out, Tim Scott, who knows, whoever else is going to run. Would that be a better, more palatable candidate for people who, you know, don't really want to vote for Joe Biden, but they say they'd never vote for Trump, and they might want somebody a little bit more middle of the road?
Well, I, as you know, I'm a DeSantis fan, and I think 4 or 5 months ago that DeSantis would have been, you know, absolutely the right pick. But Trump and Trump supporters have been so steadily trashing DeSantis over the last few months that DeSantis is really down right now. And liberals are picking it up. Liberals are picking up some of those Republican or some of those Trump talking points, right? De sanctimonious. Even Nikki Haley jumped in and accused DeSantis of waging a culture war in Florida when all DeSantis is doing is trying to fight back. I mean, DeSantis just today or yesterday banned funding of DEI groups at universities in his state. I mean, that's a great thing. He said that in his state, you know, doctors who participate in gender mutilation surgeries will be accused of medical malpractice. And these are great things. And in response, you know, we have people on the Trump side, you know, saying, "Oh, that's culture war. Oh, how dare he do that? Why is he going after Disney? What a fanatic!" And now you got liberals mouthing those same talking points. So I thought DeSantis could have been an easy front runner, you know, 4, 5, 6 months ago. He's not now. I think it's almost certainly going to be Trump. But again, you know, the caller said that Joe Biden is too old to be president. Probably a lot of liberal Democrats who agree, but they're going to vote for him anyway. They would vote for John Fetterman as president of the United States if Fetterman was the Democratic nominee against Trump. They would vote for Dianne Feinstein against Donald Trump. They would vote for Bozo the Clown against Donald Trump if Trump was the nominee. And many of them will run to the voting booth to do so. So it's going to be very interesting.
My guest today, Dr. Paul Kengor. Doctor, hold the thought. I'm going to take a break. I know a lot of people want to talk to you. If you are on hold, we'll get you on the air. If you want to join us, it's 888-914-9149, talking all things politics today. The big news, the Durham report clearing Donald Trump of Russian collusion. A lot of questions now looming. Who will run in 2024? It looks like it'll be a Biden-Trump rematch. There are some concerns about Joe Biden's age, and we'll talk about that and a whole lot more. Feel free to join us. Love to hear from you. We'll be right back.
All the news and issues
now
that are happening now.
One place.
The Drew Mariotti Show on Relevant Radio.
Now.
Hey, thanks for joining me. It is great to be with you today. Just putting our finger on the political temperature of the country right now. Has the fact that the Durham report, 300 pages of it coming out, to change your view towards Donald Trump at all? I mean, he's been cleared of Russian collusion. What about Joe Biden? You have any concerns about his age, his way he's been governing, the policies that he has put into effect? And even if you say, hey, I'd love to vote for him, would you vote for him in the same capacity you would for Kamala Harris, who might be, by default, the first female president if something happens to the president? Cognitively, he can't take care of the position, or he gets ill, or God forbid that he dies, and you don't know. And what about Donald Trump? Would you vote for him again, or you think he's too caustic? too divisive. My guest today is Dr. Paul Kengor, and we were just talking a little bit during the break. We're both sons of Pennsylvania. You know, I'm from the eastern side of the state. He's from the western, and I was watching the John Fetterman race, doctor, and I was shocked because I saw him coming out in his Carhartts. You know, he had a stroke, so you're sympathetic to that, but as a citizen of Pennsylvania, you know, I think, and I've got family that lives in the state still, you would want somebody that would represent you that could really take the demanding tasks of that job, the long hearings and meetings, the reading, the grueling, you know, duties of being a state senator, of being a U.S. senator. And, you know, then I see him beat this heart surgeon, right? This man of a pretty bright intellect, who you might not agree with his politics, but clearly, you know, is probably going to be more capable of fulfilling the duty. And as you saw what happened, Fetterman, because he was in your state, I mean, there was a long absence. The man was really struggling with depression and a lot of other issues. How did somebody, I mean, these two men could not be on farther ends of the, you know, the spectrum when it comes to their intellect and even, I think, their appeal in some respects. And that's not to disparage John Fetterman. It sounds that way, doesn't it? But I'm just shocked just on the very obvious, you know, and just looking at these guys, I'm thinking, who seems more capable of taking those duties on? Now, you may not like the politics. Are you willing to endorse somebody who just because they wear the Democratic badge as opposed to going with somebody who might be good for your state? I don't know. Your thoughts.
Yeah, well, and Oz was about as moderate and mainstream as you could get. I mean, he was on television. Everyone knew him. I mean, people literally watched him all the time on television, so you knew him really well. And here with Fetterman, even before the stroke, you had this guy who looks like a biker. He's got these tattoos all over his forearms, including with numbers on them that represented some really strange things, which I could talk about. And back when he was mayor of Braddock, which is in Pittsburgh, a steel area of Pittsburgh. John Fetterman pulled a shotgun on a black jogger who was coming by, who the mayor of Braddock, Fetterman, assumed that this poor black guy who's jogging by after Fetterman had heard reports of a crime or shooting or something, assumed that this guy must have done it, right? This is the kind of thing that if Donald Trump had done something like that, I mean, everybody in America would know about it. He'd be the, you know, the racist, white supremacist, white nationalist, everything else. And Fetterman got away with that. He's incredibly radical, far to the left on abortion, all these other issues. Flew a marijuana flag next to his gay pride flag, wow. A legalized marijuana flag outside the Pennsylvania State House. When he was deputy governor, but for Democrat voters, all the candidate needs is a D next to his name, and they're going to pull the lever. Period.
Yeah. That's a shame. You know, and I don't mean that because they're just pulling it for that reason. You got to settle aside the party. I mean, take a look at how the Democratic Party and the Republican parties have changed over the years. That Democratic Party is no longer the party of John F. Kennedy. It's no longer your father's or your grandfather's party, right? Radically different in the direction they're heading. And this particular candidate with Joe Biden is really pandering, I think, to those progressives. And you see the policies that are just, I think, really damaging to the country. We'll take a few calls, though. Let's go to Waco, Texas. First, Judge, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I just want to say I kind of have a disagree with the doctor. I believe Donald Trump can win again. I happen to be an African-American man. I voted for Donald Trump both 16 and 20. And when we go back and look at things, there was 133 registered voters in the United States in 2020. How is it that then that we come out with 155 million votes? So we know there was fraud. We know that. But I like Governor DeSantis. I like what he's done. But I don't think he has been battle-tested for a national election. We know Donald Trump has gone through. I don't think there's any more he could go through. But still, he survived, and he's a fighter. Yeah. So I would vote for him again. And I was telling the call screener that I talk with a number of African Americans now, and I wish that some of your broadcasters would get out into more middle America kind of areas and talk to some of the African Americans now who are really moving away from Joe Biden and the Democrat Party because they understand the many things that was done beneficial for the African American community during Donald Trump's presidency.
Right.
So, but you know, they're not highlighted on CNN, MSNBC, or any of these places. They don't want to talk to those people. But if you would get out and talk with them, people would see a whole different. It's changing out here.
Yeah.
Those things I just wanted to say.
Such great points, Judge. First of all, thanks for listening and thanks for your contribution. We're grateful for it. I think he's right, Doctor. I think he brought up a fantastic point. I almost feel like Joe Biden is playing the African American community. If you take a look at what Trump did over his years, and I'm not trying just to be an apologist for him, but he really did advance them in terms of employment numbers and a lot of other areas.
Well, you know, I'm doing the math here. As you said, that was a really good call. I think he had the numbers exactly right. Hillary Clinton in 2016, I think she got about 66 million votes, and Trump got about 62 million.
Mm-hmm.
And that Democrat total from Hillary to Biden went from 66 million to 81 million.
Wow. Crazy.
In 2020. And Trump went from 62 million to 75 million. I mean, to gain 13 million votes and not win is astonishing.
That's a good point.
Astonishing. And if my math is right, that'd be 128 million total votes in 2016, 156 million total votes in 2020. What's the difference there? It's mail-in balloting.
Yeah.
And it's hard to imagine that many people came out and voted for Joe Biden, a guy who campaigned from his basement.
Yeah.
And if he held a rally, I mean, you couldn't fill a sandbox with the people at a Biden, quote unquote, rally, right? Whereas the enthusiasm for Trump, including in my state, Pennsylvania, Western Pennsylvania, was totally off the charts. But I will get back to what I said before. While there are a lot of people that love Trump, the people who loathe Trump is a really extraordinary number too. And if that's over 50 and those people are all willing to vote for whoever the Democrat is, then Trump doesn't get in again. But like I said last week, don't count out the RFK Jr. factor. That could be really significant here. All you need is a third party candidate to come in and pull 5 or 6 or 10%, 5 or 6%. That's it from Biden. And Trump's in.
Yeah.
And boy, if that happens, the American left is going to lose its mind.
Yeah.
And you're going to see riots and uprisings on the night and day after that election.
Yeah.
That makes January 6th look like a visit to Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. If that happens,
Doctor, what do you make of Judge's other point, which I thought was a good one too, about a shift in the African American community? A lot of blacks saying, "You know what? The Democratic Party has not been that great for me," and they're jumping ship.
Well, Trump did better with African Americans than people thought,
yeah.
And by the way, so again, your home, Philadelphia, the vote there was, I think it was about 80 to 20%. Biden to Trump, and for people thinking, "Wow, that's a trouncing." Well, it is, but Philly usually goes like 90 to 10.
Yeah, it's so blue.
So, yeah, I remember people telling me, Democrats saying, "Well, how dare you think that something funny might have happened in Pennsylvania? This is easily accounted for by the 80. Biden got 80% of the vote in Philadelphia," and I said, "Whoa! Biden should have got 90% of the vote in Philadelphia. Trump did really well." In Philadelphia, including among black voters in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
That was another puzzling thing about the whole Pennsylvania thing.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out Pennsylvania, people say, well, the only thing you could really account for would be like maybe suburban women, probably like suburban white women.
Right.
Again, mail-in balloting.
Right.
And of course, people say fraud as well, right?
Yeah, and I'm not saying that I know what the answer is, other than that night when I went to bed, Trump was up by 500. I think it was 600,000 vote. I thought that was insurmountable, and I couldn't believe that he lost.
I remember seeing the map of the state of Pennsylvania. Right, you've got Philadelphia, which was blue, and you've got Pittsburgh, which was blue, and the rest of the state was all red. And that's the way that's the way it shakes out. Same thing in Wisconsin. They've got Milwaukee, and I believe it's Madison, blue, and the whole state is red. You do that in a lot of other
Illinois.
Take a look at Illinois. Take a lot of these states.
Chicago, highly
populated cities with these, you know. But I've always marveled. Some of these policies in those cities are just so bad. You think people would get frustrated with them and say we want to change? But I don't know. It's
no. They vote for the person with the D. No matter what.
It's so wrong.
That is what they do no matter what. And some people who are Democrats are listening saying, well, you probably do the same thing with Republicans. No, I didn't vote for Donald Trump.
Yeah.
All right. I don't just vote for whoever has an R next to their name. All right. But and I come from a traditional blue collar Roman Catholic Italian family in Western Pennsylvania. And growing up with my grandmother and aunts and all of them, same thing. Right. They'd vote for Ted Kennedy.
Yep.
Right. They'd vote for Nancy Pelosi, whoever. As long as there is a D next to the name, that's who they voted for.
Hey, I got to go to Nancy in New Jersey. She said she was up at 4 a.m. during the election night, saw a huge truck pull into her convention center. Nancy, good afternoon.
Hi. I'm going to turn my speakerphone off.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate that. If you want to join us, too, it's 888-914-9149. Go right ahead, Nancy.
Okay, Drew. I was up that night. I guess all of America went to sleep. But I stayed up till 4 o'clock in the morning, and I saw on on Channel 6 News or ABC.
ABC, yep.
I saw this huge truck pull up, and there was four interesting men that got out of it. It was a huge truck, like a tractor trailer. And I believe that they had ballots in there, and they were just taking them off.
Okay.
You know, and but putting them in there.
It could have been anything, though, right, Nancy? It could have been. We don't know really what it is. I mean, it's a bold claim to make, but what makes you think they were ballots?
Yeah. Well, because it was so late in the morning.
Yeah, that's true.
4 o'clock in the morning,
okay.
You know, when the polls closed and everything.
Yeah, well,
they were also putting pizza boxes up too, covering everything. Why were they doing that?
Yeah, that's a good point. Nancy, thank you. I'm glad you, and that was a big, you know, controversy, wasn't it, Doctor? A lot of people, when the ballots were being counted, instead of being open to public view, curtains were drawn, pizza boxes were blocking windows. Should be transparent, and of course it wasn't. So a lot of people have their theories. Nancy, thank you. George in Modesto, California, you're on the air with Dr. Kengor. Welcome.
Yeah, I would like to say to the Republicans or conservatives that, hey, Donald Trump his fault is that he's conservative. Right now he's the best choice for people of conscience, and we need to unite behind him. The other thing is, DeSantis may be a good vice president. That would be a good gesture to kind of unite the party. I never heard any suggestion like that anywhere, but I don't know the possibility of that.
That's good.
So, I'd just like to stop talking about other candidates since we have Donald Trump, who has really no faults except that people think he's divisive. Well, that's not his fault.
Right.
If people want to vote for Biden again, go ahead and you pay the price. Thank you.
George, thank you. And, Doctor, I'll let you respond to that.
Well, I'll say something that might surprise people. So, I mean, obviously Trump is divisive, and I say that all the time. But a lot of people, I think, are reacting to this latest report on the Russia collusion, clearly now hoax, the Alvin Bragg thing. Even the woman who sued Trump for rape or sexual assault, E. Jean Carroll, in New York a week or two ago, and they convicted Trump of that, a jury in New York. A lot of people are now at the point who don't like Trump and thought he was divisive, and they're thinking, boy, the Democrats really have gone after him too hard. This really is over the top. They impeached the guy. Wasn't that enough? Right. When are they going to leave him alone? And to see Trump getting exonerated in some of these things, it's going to provide a backlash against Democrats. I think it is. David Catron, one of our writers at the American Spectator, said that the current Democratic strategy is to pump and then dump Trump. he thinks that they want to run against Donald Trump so they can defeat him again. And I felt that way for months, that that's the case. But as some of these things come in that start to exonerate Trump, and Trump does start to get some sympathy, it could be closer than people think. But I still don't think Trump can get the 50% or even over 46% that he would need to win the election unless the third party person comes in.
Oh, that's so stunning, because you really think, and we've talked about this, and I got to take a break here, but one-on-one against Joe Biden, with everything that he's done over the past 4 years, you still think Democrats are going to come out with the same numbers and vote for him, that he hasn't lost or hemorrhaged
that many people? Because they didn't like Biden in 2020. There was no enthusiasm for that for him then, but they voted for him anyway because they were voting against Trump.
Yeah.
I said something in the last segment. Imagine, Drew, if Trump does win, what election night and the riots are going to look like. And all of a sudden, no one will talk about January 6th anymore. I'm not saying the liberal Democrats are going to be scaling the walls of Congress, but it is going to be, there is going to be an absolute, there are going to be riots in the streets if Donald Trump were to win in 2024. It is going to be so, so ugly.
Wow. All right, my guest today is Dr. Paul Kegler. Lines are stacked. Stay with me. I got a short break. When we come back, we will grab a few more telephone calls, try to get you on the air, share your views. Quick programming note, Father Rocky, if you pray the rosary with him every evening, Family Rosary Across America will be live tonight in Crystal Lake, Illinois. So tune in and join Father and so many other people around the country and around the world praying that powerful prayer. And maybe call in and pray for our country, right? Let's pray for our leaders. That God gives us not the leaders that we deserve, but the leaders that we need. I'll be right back.
Connect with Drew. Relevant Radio.
At 888-914-9149.
Market for health insurance? Well, our sponsor, the Catholic Order of Foresters, is here to help you and your family find the most cost-effective health plan. Learn more at relevantradio.com/Forester.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Get connected.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I wish I had another couple hours to spend with you. A few minutes left. I'll try to get your call on the air. If you're just joining us, taking the temperature right now where we are in the country when it comes to political candidates and all that's unfolding. The Durham report came out today, highlighting the fact that the president was innocent of any collusion with Russia. There was a great farce. It was a hoax, as many people are talking about. And my guest today, Dr. Paul Kegler, taking a look at Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, the elections, mail-in balloting, all things politics today for you. Doctor, I just went to your website. I went to spectator.org. And by the way, that's a great website. If you want to check it out, Dr. Kegler writes for the American Spectator. Again, the website, spectator.org. Does John Durham's strongly worded letter make you feel better, is one article. Another one is how university presidents, Joe Biden's America, racial supremacist in chief. We know he gave a talk to a black university and came out talking about racism in the country and how terrible that is. A lot of other issues. You wrote an article on whether or not Joe Biden is going to boycott the Olympics. What are your thoughts on that? Why is that so important?
Yeah, because the Olympic Committee came out last week and said that biological males, quote unquote, identifying as females, cannot compete in track and field events, which, of course, is common sense. Martina Navratilova, the feminist and a liberal who's been really great on these transgender issues, she applauded the decision of the committee. And Joe Biden is completely against it. In fact, Joe Biden, going back to the time he was vice president, not to mention many times as president, said that transgenderism is the civil rights issue of our time. In his speech, his statement for Transgender National Visibility Day, he said that trans people are the nation's soul. And he said that they are made in God's image. That is, you know, the God, according to Genesis, that made us male and female. But according to Biden, right, transgenderism is something that represents God's image. You know, I'm not going to deny that transgender people are made in God's image, too. We all are as human beings. As Catholics, we believe that. But, you know, God made us male and female. He didn't create 70 different gender options. So with Biden believing that this is such a great civil rights issue, why doesn't he pull us out of the Olympics if this is the case? I mean, we pulled out of the Olympics before, many nations have. We did against the Soviets in 1980. They did against us in Los Angeles in 1984. So for Biden, if the transgender issue is really the great civil rights issue of our day, he ought to be protesting by pulling us out of the Olympics.
Yeah, we'll have to talk about that. We have a little more time. We have a few moments to go. We'll see what happens. I don't think that'll be the case. But our next call is Marie. She is listening in Pennsylvania. She's got a comment for you, Doctor. Hi, Marie. Marie, go right ahead. I'm going to cue back to her in a second. Jim in Minnesota. Good afternoon. You're on the air with Dr. Paul Kengor.
Yes. Good afternoon. Say, I was just going to mention. Hi. Okay, Biden's been in politics for 50 years. DeSantis has been a politician for so many years. Trump is not a politician. He's a businessman. He made himself a billionaire. He run the country like it should be. And if you ever read the book, they fired the first shot. God gleaned him to be president, and they can't pin anything on him, have they? No. And he's the man to save our another.
Jim, you're breaking up a little bit. I hate to do that to you. I think we got your comment, though. But, Doctor, you want to follow up?
Well, I'd say if God picks somebody to save the country, it'd be somebody that's more of a unifier, that's less divisive. I mean, Ronald Reagan won 44 out of 50 states in 1980 and then was reelected in 1984 with 49 out of 50 states. Yeah, right. You know, he won 60 to 40%. He won the Electoral College 525 to 13. In fact, the only state he didn't win was Jim's in Minnesota.
Yeah, right.
he lost twice. But I'll say this after I've said all those negatives about Trump right there. I'll say this positive in defense of Trump. Trump also gave us the vaccines, which every liberal loves so much that they forced all of us to take or tried to, even when we tried to appeal to our conscience and religious exemptions and medical exemptions. And the liberals should be building a giant statue outside of the National Institutes of Health for Donald Trump for giving him, you know, their beloved, sacred mRNA clot shots.
Oh, my gosh. Marie in San Diego, California. Hi, Maria. Good afternoon.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Hello, doctor. I just want to say that I just agree with you in what you were saying as far as Trump being divisive. I think that all started with Obama, with putting us against each other, with blacks and whites, even with Latinos. It's saying, you know, he's prejudiced and just a lot of stuff like that. I also want to say that Trump can be brutal, and the only thing that I say, he's a businessman. I go on his policies. He's pro-life. He actually didn't wage war. He was actually making peace. I mean, he did so many great things, and I think people need to put his personality aside. Everything that they try to get him on has not been true, and I believe that he deserves another chance. And also, God used Paul, and he was persecuting, you know, the Christians. So God could use ordinary men in extraordinary ways. And I just think we just need to keep praying for our nation, keep praying for whoever he appoints, that they would do God's work and God's will. And thank you so much for taking my call.
You got it, Maria. Thank you. Well, there you go, Doctor.
Yeah. Look, Obama was very divisive. And I'll never forget, I think the fundamental transformation of America, the turning point began on that date, June 26, 2015, the Obergefell decision, taking marriage out of all 50 states with one fell swoop, the Supreme Court rendering unto itself this something theretofore that was defined by the laws of nature and nature's God, marriage, redefining it as not between one man and one woman. And Obama celebrated by illuminating the nation's White House in the colors of the rainbow flag. And 4 years under Donald Trump, we had a reprieve from that kind of nonsense. That didn't happen. And Biden is even more of a cultural revolutionary than Obama was, and very much against Catholic social and moral teaching. At least Obama wasn't Catholic. Biden is. It really hurts as a Catholic to see Biden doing this. But I agree. Obama was very divisive as well. And he's not portrayed that way, but he was.
I have less than 2 minutes. Let me sneak Mariana in here. She's in Riverside, California. Hi, Mariana.
Yes, I deeply appreciate the writings of Dr. Paul Kangor, and I love purchasing your books for Father's Day. So try to tell your publisher this to relaunch always before Father's Day. My dad just goes on and on about you. But I just wanted to also say thank you for also mentioning some notorious accolades that Trump has always been given, the peace in the Jerusalem and yeah, also the Zionist Award.
He was
the first person to actually have received that. And you don't
great
ever
on the Middle
hear
East.
About that.
Great on the Middle East.
Absolutely. And I just really loved the just everything about Trump during that time. But you never hear of any of that information. So thank you again. Keep on writing.
Yeah, I think that's Thank you. And I think that's actually the best thing that Donald Trump did was everything in the Middle East, moving the embassy with Israel and getting all those different Arab countries to recognize Israel. Prior to Trump, it had just been Egypt, Egypt and Jordan. And that was it. Trump did tremendous work in the Middle East. And also Putin behaved himself for 4 years. Putin invaded the Crimea in 2014 and then all of Ukraine in 2022 under Obama and under Biden, never under Trump.
Doctor, I got to leave it right there. Let's talk again soon. I'd love to talk more about the Olympics and what we're going to do as a country there. But check out American Spectator. It's spectator.org. And you can check out Doctor's writings along with a lot of others. I'm out of time for the day. Until our paths again cross, count on my prayers. Have a great day.